From London, BBC Caribbean Report.
Three Caribbean prime ministers enlist the help of Caribbean nationals in Britain to save the banana industry. Nigeria's military government told their delegation won't be welcome at a Commonwealth summit in Edinburgh. And success or failure, rating the first Red Stripe Bowl. I'm Orin Gordon, and this is BBC Caribbean Report.
You can play a leading role in helping to ensure the survival of the banana farmer in St. Lucia, in Dominica, in Grenada, in St. Vincent, and in Jamaica. How can you help? First, whenever you go to that supermarket, you must only buy Windward Islands bananas.
St. Lucian leader Kenny Anthony speaking this evening to Caribbean nationals in London. Three prime ministers attended a meeting seeking Caribbean support in Britain for the region's banana industry. With changes coming to Europe's banana regime, the leader said it's essential to hold on to the key British market. Prime Minister Anthony said nationals could make the difference in their shopping habits and their lobbying.
There's a second step. Whenever you go to that supermarket and there are no West Indian or Windward Islands bananas on the shelves, you must complain and insist that the supermarket sells West Indian bananas. Complain. Say to the supermarket that the only bananas you eat is West Indian bananas and you want to see West Indian bananas on the shelf. Otherwise, no bananas, no buying. It's important you bring home that message. And believe you me, if you can do this, you will give an additional ounce of life to our Caribbean farmers.
More later from Prime Ministers Keith Mitchell of Grenada and Edison James of Dominica. They're among the Commonwealth Caribbean leaders arriving in the UK for the Commonwealth Heads of Government Summit, which starts on Friday in Edinburgh. A priority for many Caribbean leaders will be support from Britain and the Commonwealth over maintaining Europe's banana regime. But is there still a role for the Commonwealth given the changes taking place in international trade and diplomacy? That's a question Debbie Ransom put to Dr. Anthony earlier today in London.
Absolutely. The answer is even more. I mean, let us face reality. We are now confronting the WTO over its recent decision. And we need as much diplomatic support as possible. Therefore, we need to fall back on our traditional friends and allies to be able to cope with the implications of that decision. I believe, too, that so much of the Commonwealth depends on the attitude of the British government. The viability of the Commonwealth, to a large extent, depends on how the British government opts to handle the Commonwealth and approach the British Commonwealth. And I believe that with the Labour government, there are immense possibilities in that regard. But you have to see the Commonwealth in different terms. It's not just a diplomatic organization to acquire diplomatic empathy. It is an organization too that provides invaluable technical assistance. And let's face it, despite the fact that we all resent the history that produced us, nevertheless, that history has created a certain bondage, so there's a certain freedom with which you can deliberate on matters that you would not find in the international grouping. What you're really having in the world today is really a redefinition of international organizations. Developments are not making these international organizations obsolete. What is happening is that we are all compelled to redefine them, reshape them, and clearly the Commonwealth has to be part of that process. But this can never be a situation that is useless, not at all.
Do you think that's already happening at the Commonwealth, or do you think it very much wants to stay linked to its past?
That is happening. That is happening. If you look at the fact that a number of countries are becoming interested in joining the Commonwealth, why, if the Commonwealth is a dying organization, would these countries want to join the Commonwealth? I mean, let's face it, even in the Caribbean, a few years ago, we may have frowned on attendance at Commonwealth meetings. Now, nearly all of us are there. And in fact, as far as I'm aware, all the prime ministers will be there. And that is an indication of how important it is to the Caribbean. I think it, really the challenge is to reshape. And let me say this, the Commonwealth has far greater ability to adapt to these changes than, say, to the United Nations, because we are far more cohesive in terms of our approach to the organization.
Kenny Anthony. The Nigerian military government will not be allowed to attend the opening of the summit on Friday. According to the British Foreign Office, the Commonwealth Secretary General Emeka Anyaoku has made it clear to Nigerian Foreign Minister Tom Ikimi that a delegation would not be welcome. The BBC's Barnaby Mason reports.
Under sanctions adopted by the European Union, members of the Nigerian military government are not granted visas to enter Britain. And British officials said that if Chief Ikimi arrived with a delegation, he would be stopped. But in any case, they said Nigeria couldn't participate in Commonwealth meetings while it was suspended. They described the request sent to the Secretary General as a stunt, and the reply to Chief Ikimi was that he was unwelcome. The British official said the Nigerian authorities had had a great number of opportunities over the past 2 years to put their views to the Commonwealth. The problem was that they'd taken no meaningful steps towards returning to democracy and improving their human rights performance. The Edinburgh summit will consider a report by a ministerial action.